Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Governor Newsom says he had a productive meeting with the president over the wildfire relief. Head of the EPA touring the fire damage here today, but first, still raining a little bit now and then more tonight and tomorrow.
When it rains, we look to the burn areas just to see how they're doing and will they hold up. Our John Baird checking out the scene on PCH. He's at a guard checkpoint on PCH in Entrada in that Palisades fire zone. John?
That's right. The National Guard has a checkpoint here, and it is raining, just a very light, misty rain right now. It's just that we've been, you know, getting rain for the last few days. The meteorologists call it a beneficial rain, at least in terms of the storm that just came through and the one that will start soaking the area tonight. But we all know that when you have fire-scarred hillsides where the flames have destroyed the vegetation that keeps the soil in place, some of that mud and rocks and debris, all that could come sliding down depending on the storm itself. But forecasters say they don't think we will see a mudslide or a debris flow at this point anyway.
Yes, some minor flooding and some minor slides might happen, but to see a much more significant slide happen, we really need an intense burst of rainfall for that to happen.
It's Todd Hall with the National Weather Service. Now, as for the potential storm brewing for the middle of next week, it's still too early to tell, but it is shaping up to be possibly a fairly strong storm. As for the system moving through tonight, it should be over, pretty much over by Friday evening. But Mike and Vicky also wonder if the rain could cause, you know, some of these toxic materials at the fire, you know, collection sites to seep into the sand or the soil or the ocean, although EPA officials have insisted they're taking precautions to prevent that from happening.
Well, the head of the EPA is going to be here today, John, to tour the damage from the fires. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, other federal officials meeting with the Pasadena Mayor first, Victor Gordo, going through the area impacted by the Eaton Fire. Then they'll go with Mayor Bass in the Palisades, touring the area, viewing the progress on the debris removal, the recovery so far. It was yesterday the EPA announced the parking lot at Will Rogers State Beach is going to be the hazardous materials staging area for the Palisades fire.
Some people in Altadena are starting to organize, come together to try to get the aid for rebuilding. But Pete Demetrio says there's also a movement underway to try to really prevent developers from rolling in and radically changing their neighborhoods.
Beyond learning about the progress on toxic waste removal and debris clearing, residents like 30-year Altadenan Michael Derone says they're hearing ominous indications about what political leaders and developers want to do as reconstruction goes forward.
Where is it there? They just passed a recent law to put multiple homes on single pieces of property, and Altadena is not that town. So we need to put a stop to it right away. Gavin Newsom needs to step up here and see that this community does not need the change, and we don't need more houses. We need our community back.
He and others are concerned predatory developers will focus on elderly people who've lost their homes and who are ill-equipped to resist temptations to sell their property.
The elderly in the area, they don't know how to use computers. They don't have the assistance they need to get online to do what they have to do. My wife has been helping them out.
So that's why these type of meetings are important.
Oh, they're beyond important. They're beyond necessary. Pete, we're going to lose our community if we allow the politicians to come here and cookie carve this place.
A new community group was even selling T-shirts to raise money to assemble and put lawn signs on burned-out properties, with the owner's permission, of course. They say, Altadena, not for sale. In La Cañada, Flint Ridge, I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
So many issues, so many questions in the wake of these fires. And for the Palisades fire, it's the hydrants, whether outdated ones, were partly to blame for how bad things were. Here's Chris Edens.
The hydrants in the surrounding area each had a single 2.5-inch outlet for attaching to a fire hose. Fire protection engineer Kevin Feek says modern fire hydrants are now equipped with at least two much larger outlets.
Generally, the larger the outlet, the more flow that you'll have from a hydrant. But the other factor to consider is the pressure from which the hydrant is flowing the water. So the higher pressure that you have, the larger flow that you'll have coming from the outlet.
Feek says while newer, more advanced hydrants may have helped in the firefight, the ones available to firefighters would have been considered absolutely fine in fighting a single house or business fire. I'm Chris Edens, KNX News 97.1 FM.
I look forward to more productive meetings, and I look forward to the spirit that defined the meetings of this day, that spirit of collaboration and cooperation, the spirit that finds the best of American people.
Governor Newsom there after meeting with President Trump at the White House over aid for the fires, relief money, called that meeting productive, said the president's going to do the right thing. Interesting relationship between these two, right? Newsom on CNN right now said, I think it's one of the strangest in politics. Leah Russell covers Governor Newsom for the Sacramento Bee and is live on the line.
Leah, good morning.
Good morning.
So for someone who has had a really contentious relationship with President Trump, Governor Newsom this morning is smiling in an interview. He seems light. He's talking about his relationship with the president. The meeting was productive, talked about broad strokes, no real specifics, but he says they have a strong partnership moving forward. Is this new attitude just part of Governor Newsom sort of move a little bit toward the middle because he wants the White House eventually himself?
I think it's a little bit too early to tell. I mean, we know he's has his eye on higher office, but I think it's also, you know, an understanding that, you know, he does need the president on his side to help LA residents rebuild, especially, you know, they're running up against the clock of the Olympics, you know, thousands of homes are burnt and, you know, people just want their communities rebuilt.
Can he do both? Can he soften on Trump, or as Politico said today, you know, buddy up to him and then still on the other side have Rob Bonta, the AG, you know, filing all these lawsuits?
You know, I think it's a difficult tightrope to walk, but, you know, I think he's shown he's capable of working with the president when he needs to. You know, he's talked about how the two got along really well, you know, starting probably back in 2018, right when he was elected, and they had to work together during the campfire. They also had to work pretty collaboratively during the pandemic. You know, and I think Trump also recognizes that California is, you know, it's the biggest, it's a, you know, it's a huge state. You know, it's fifth largest economy in the world. And yeah, no matter his relationship with Newsom, he needs to, you know, still continue to deliver for the people of California. And
it's interesting, right? It's politics because, yeah, President Trump can't stomp on Governor Newsom too much. You know, they have to kind of come together. And, you know, in this interview, they, you know, Governor Newsom said, you know, they didn't just talk about the fire situation. They talked about the voter ID issue that the president brought up recently, the water situation. And the governor described it as, again, spirited and engaging, the conversation they had about these things. How will this go forward, do you think, you know, predicting how Donald Trump will continue reacting to Governor Newsom?
I think, you know, on things like voter ID, I am less sure that that will change at all. You know, Bonta and has made it clear that, you know, we already have laws in place to ensure against voter fraud. Water, I think, is less of a decided factor. You know, even, you know, we've seen things like Newsom ordering an investigation into, you know, why one reserve was offline at the time of the fires, you know, and then there are things like, you know, some water policies can be decided on the federal level.
If I'm the governor's PR team, I'm always looking ahead, right, to see what questions may come back to haunt me later. If I'm running for president someday, what does that look like after these fires? I mean, is he going to be haunted by these water issues, infrastructure problems, an insurance crisis?
Well, the insurance crisis, I think, almost now doesn't quite predate him, but I think that that is, you know, an issue that maybe the federal government will need to get involved in. You know, it's just it's sort of like homelessness. It's just it's, you know, it's statewide, and it's, you know, it's a statewide issue that will, yeah, take years to solve. I think Newsom has made it clear, you know, he was first on the scene almost when the fires first broke out. You know, he got ahead of it. I think, you know, his leadership on the fire response, I don't think will come to haunt him. I think, you know, that's his strength. And I think in some ways, you know, he's kind of perfected this. It's almost like his tenure as governor has been, you know, marked by one crisis after the other. First, it was the campfire. You know, there's been multiple wildfires throughout his tenure. There's also the pandemic and the recalls. And yeah, I don't think, you know, I think it's also almost too early to tell, particularly on the LA fires. But I think, you know, he has a chance to, I think he can
come out looking all right. Okay, Leah Russell covers Governor Newsom there for the Sacramento Bee. Leah, thanks.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Creepy Crawly Discovery, some snack packages at LAX. Inside those, and airliners could be in danger from space junk. More as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
If you want the federal buyout, the Trump buyout, you got to take it today.
Federal workers are debating the legitimacy of a buyout offer as today's deadline draws near. Federal workers are being offered a chance to keep getting paid until the end of September if they submit their resignation. President Trump has said he wants all these people working in the public sector.
Everybody's replaceable, and we'll get very good people to replace them if it turns out to be more than we thought. It could be a lot, it could be a little, we don't know.
The plan is designed to weaken what allies of the president describe as the deep state that undermined him during his first term. In the House, Maryland Democrat April McLean Delaney has advice for federal workers.
I implore you, do not take that buyout. It is not to be trusted. As the buyout letter says, we are truly at a fork in the road.
The administration ramped up the pressure on employees to leave with a reminder, if not enough people take the buyout, layoffs or furloughs could come next. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Democrats want a second hearing for the FBI nominee, Kash Patel.
Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley postponed a final committee vote on Kash Patel's nomination to lead the FBI until next week, rejecting a request from Democrats for a second hearing. Critics of Patel's are concerned the Trump loyalist will seek retribution against the president's political opponents, an accusation he denied during his hearing last week. If confirmed, Patel will report to U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi, who was confirmed by the Senate Tuesday and sworn in yesterday. Torian Small, CBS News, Washington.
All right, the Beatles, dozens of them, large, big ones, live, exotic Beatles hidden in Japanese snack wrappers confiscated at LAX. Here's Emily Valdez.
These were big Beatles we're talking about, up to 6 inches long with horns and huge pinchers. They were being smuggled into the U.S. through LAX via the mail.
CBP agriculture specialist recently encountered a package containing 37 live Beatles smuggled within plastic and glass containers within a Japanese snacks, such as chips and cookies.
Basin Ramirez is section chief with U.S. Customs and Border Protection. He believes the beetles were going to be someone's pets or to collectors, but they are an invasive species here in the U.S.
These beetles can cause devastation to our agriculture industry.
Ramirez said they're going to try and find a zoo or aquarium that has the proper permits to take them. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
You want to see these guys, the Beatles, at KNXnews.com.
A second type of bird flu has been detected in dairy cows in the U.S.
The Agriculture Department reports dairy cattle in Nevada have been infected with a new type of bird flu, one that's different from the version that's been spreading in herds since last year. The detection indicates that distinct strains of the H5N1 bird flu have spilled over from wild birds into cattle at least twice. Experts say that raises new questions about wider spread and the difficulty of controlling infections in animals and the people who work closely with them. At least 67 people in the U.S. have been infected with bird flu, most of them working with dairy or cattle. One person in Louisiana died after developing severe respiratory symptoms following contact with wild and backyard birds. I'm Ben Thomas.
So we were just talking about the governor on CNN. Lawmakers still go to those cable channels, right? But they've been in trouble lately. Viewership's lower. They're not making as much money. Everybody's trying to figure out streaming. What's the future going to look like? There was a piece in The Atlantic the other day that said it's the final flicker. Quinnipiac University journalism professor Ben Bogardus is live with us.
Hi, Ben. Good morning.
Morning.
Cable news, it's been said, is at the edge of a precipice. Does the industry just fall off the cliff or adapt? And how's that work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a precipice, it sounds kind of dramatic, but, you know, if you are running these networks, if you are paying the bills, then yeah, it does look pretty dire because they really have to examine who they are, what they are, and how they deliver their content to viewers. You know, in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, you know, they were the go-to place for news. That's where people would go for national news, for breaking news, for world news. They didn't want to necessarily wait till 6:30 p.m. for the networks. But now people get their news constantly every day on social media, online. So they don't really need the facts. And so the networks, which built up the reputation as bringing factual news, are now saying, what can we give people that they don't already know? And that's the talking heads. That's the opinion. And that's where they're thinking about streaming. When they go streaming, you know, Fox News has Fox Nation, which has been very successful for years. When CNN tried to do a news-centric CNN Plus, it failed spectacularly. So, you know, they're trying to think, you know, what does our audience want and how can we get it to them where they are right now?
Well, what do you think that model ends up looking like? Because, right, CNN tried to figure it out. Fox has Fox Nation. But do you kind of mix the live with the other stuff, or do you someday just put your whole lineup on there? Because if you don't do that, then what's your regular lineup for?
Yeah, absolutely. And cord cutting, you know, people don't subscribe to cable. The way that the cable networks used to make money was, number one, with commercials, but also they got money from the cable companies. Each subscriber, they got a certain cut of the subscriber base. But now that so few people subscribe to, you know, cable, people are going on streaming. So the networks have to figure out, you know, how can we encourage people to actually pay for our product directly through streaming services? And so they have to give them something that they can't get elsewhere, something that they want. So I think, you know, the Fox Nation model is what CNN is eyeing right now, saying, well, you know, we can give them news, but apparently people can get news elsewhere. So what they can't get elsewhere is our experts, our analysis, you know, our original shows, original programming, original documentaries. So I think they're going to lean more into that, trying to, you know, give people what they can't get through other sources.
You know, you're a journalism professor, and journalists have always been the eyes and ears of the public who couldn't watch the politicians or the power brokers because maybe you have to work and you do other things. So if, as you said, we move toward more opinion, you know, experts and opinions and maybe AI news, I mean, what does that really say about the value of the content, no matter what platform it's on?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, as a journalism professor, I enjoy news. I enjoy, you know, straight news. I enjoy the information. But news is also a business, and the networks need to make money to stay in business. And so they are looking to a way to balance that. They still want to be a legitimate, trusted news source, but they need to find a way to pay the bills. And in fact, you see this with CNN, where, you know, they laid off a lot of people after the election because they no longer felt they needed that much coverage, especially if they're moving over to streaming, which, you know, is more of an opinion-based, talk show-based style. They didn't need all those reporters, which is, you know, really a sad thing for information. But, you know, I think what it comes down to, though, is that, you know, people always need information. It's just where it comes from, how it's delivered, will be different. And hopefully some enterprising news organizations will find a way to, you know, spread information, spread traditional reporting just in a social format, which people are more and more going to for their news information at all times during the day.
Quinnipiac University journalism professor Ben Bogardus, thanks.